That's John Elway and head coach Gary Kubiak addressing the press here at the conclusion of day one, round one of the NFL draft. John Elway pointing out that this trade discussion with Detroit didn't just start tonight. It started a few days ago. And, of course, when you throw in the fact involving Manny Ramirez in that, this dialogue began before anybody was on the clock tonight. Let's also go to what I think stood out from John saying, look, we had Shane Ray 10th on their board, 10th. And you can go ahead and get a guy you have rated 10th at 23. A lot of teams had to pass on him for that to happen. But you can be nothing but happy when a situation like that unfolds on day one of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Kubiak, when he was asked about it, he said, hey, I know one thing. It's going to be fun to go after the quarterback.
Right.
And that is very true, you know, of course, with all the guys that they now have and Shane Ray coming. But I thought it was interesting. You know, John always said that, hey, when he got a good sense of the feel just from being around Shane Ray. And he, you know, Shane Ray promised him that, you know, this isn't a problem and that John felt very comfortable around Shane Ray. So, you know, that's why he moved up and went and got him. He said, why do you have to move up? Well, when they saw that Shane Ray was still available, he said, I thought it was too good to be true. So he went ahead and pulled the trigger, moved up, and he got his guy.
The price was right. He said yep. There is a support system in place, which is very important. This isn't something they just decided, hey, Shane Ray's there, guys. Let's go jump up, move up, and get him. No,
exactly.
This was planned, going back to evaluating the player, evaluating the situation, and then evaluating the trade scenario, which started a few days before. Again, 10th on their board, talked to several teams about this. What I liked, what head coach Gary Kubiak said, was that Shane Ray is one of those guys who plays with his hair on fire. Let's go back to yes. mid-January, a day after the Broncos lost to the Colts in the playoff game. John Elway stressed how he was disturbed at how he didn't think there were enough players playing with their hair on fire when the Broncos lost to the Colts. And, of course, had to do an early exit out of the playoffs. We're joined now again by Andrew Mason, who was downstairs sitting in that room, not only with John Elway and Coach Kubiak addressing the press, but before that, Shane Ray on the teleconference call. Andrew, we've been analyzing what we've heard from here, both on the call and with Elway and Kubiak talking to the press. It looks like it's just, look, we know he made a mistake. They've talked to him enough where they're confident enough when you have a guy rated 10th, and he's there at 23, and you've already set up talks with Detroit to go out and get him, you're not going to second-guess it. You're going to go do it.
Yeah, and it says a lot for the work they did in the last 2 months. I mean, Shane Ray said, you know, said he talked to them at the combine, talked to them in the weeks in between the combine and then the incident over the weekend. And that allowed the Broncos, I think, to get a good read on his character, who and what he really was as a person and a football player. And then, you know, when everything went down this week, they'd established that rapport with him to where they could really, you know, kind of get personal and the types of questions that they asked him and get to the bottom of this and try to, you know, find out, okay, is this the start of a pattern? Is it going to happen again? You know, Elway talked about how he faced the music from the media in Chicago, that he went to the draft. He didn't try to hide after this, you know, admitted to his mistake. I think that, you know, through something like this, they learned quite a bit about his character, and they felt comfortable picking him. And frankly, like you said, 10th guy on their board, so you're getting top 10 value at number 23. And again, if he doesn't have this incident this past weekend, you're not talking about him being a Denver Bronco right now, because the cost would have been too great to move up and take him. So In a weird way, just things kind of worked out for the Broncos. The only thing now is he is in stage one of the substance abuse program, so he's going to be tested rigorously and on a regular basis, and he's going to be that way he's going to be at that stage for the rest of his career, even if he doesn't have another positive test. So he's going to have to walk the straight and narrow, but between the testing process and also between guys in the locker room, that's something Elway touched on. You know, guys like DeMarcus Ware, Chris Harris Jr., I think they're going to keep him on the straight and narrow.
I get the sense that he's angry, frankly. I get the sense he's angry at himself for putting himself in that position Monday morning. He said he allowed someone very close to him to put him in a bad spot. He's angry at himself and how it could have impacted not only tonight and where he's getting drafted, but his future. I also think he's very upset with the 22 teams who passed over him. He said, I'm a steal. He said that very clearly. I'm a steal. I think he knows this was a one-time offense for him, And I'm sure after that happened, he was asking himself, my goodness, how do I let this happen? 4 days leading up to the draft, I got the sense he was angry at himself. He was angry at teams that passed him over. And he's going to be like he's shot out of a cannon when he comes here for rookie camp. They're going to have to rein him in a little bit.
Well, who was it who said that he plays like a guy with his hair on fire?
Coach Kubiak.
Coach Kubiak. So you know that he's ready to come out and play and get after the quarterback. And even John Elway kind of said it himself. He said, I think that Shane Ray has learned what consequences are for his actions off the field.
Right.
And Shane Ray said, hey, he apologized for it. And he said, I know I can come in and contribute both on the field and off the field. So he seems like a guy who's remorseful. And, you know, something that we learned about this situation is that both Shane Ray and Randy Gregory were kind of lumped into the same situation, but it really not the same situation.
Right.
And as a result, we saw, hey, Randy Gregory, a similar type talent, is still on the board.
So
he has a pattern. I mean, that's the
exactly.
thing. He has multiple positive tests.
Exactly. And, but you know, he was, they were lumped up into the same kind of
they
thing.
Were, because you lumped the character concerns. They were all in the same bin. And certainly, I think, you know, I'm sure he's going to understand the financial cost. He probably cost himself $3 million potentially over the life of the contract and $4 million guaranteed based on last year's difference between the 10th pick and the 23rd pick. So
that's a reason to be angry.
Yes. No one can't blame him for being angry.
Right.
But at the same time, he's going to come out motivated and knowing that if he plays well and as has been said with his quote unquote hair on fire, then he's going to earn that back at his second contract.
Right. And he owned it. Okay. Let's not just blow by that. He owned it. Shane Ray will make the 2-hour flight here to Denver tomorrow. We will meet him, get a chance to sit down with him before we come back on air for rounds 2 and 3 of the draft. Let's tie up some loose ends here before we finally close up shop this after 4 hours and change that we've all been in here on air. Right now, what I want to do is take a look at, let's stick with the ripple effect of this move, Andrew. Manny Ramirez involved in that trade. Manny did move around, but what you now officially have had happen, Mace, is that you have officially opened up a spot along the line for a starter who was here with Manny Ramirez going back to Detroit. The competition, as we all knew it was going to be there, but now it's literally on paper. Manny now out. There is now a position to fight for, and draft aside whether or not it's there now.
Yeah, and you'd have to give Gino Gradkowski the inside track just because he has experience in this offense, and he was in Baltimore last year, and he had, even though he'd started in 2013 and then barely played in 2014 under Kubiak and Dennison when they got there, he had that year of development that they usually like to see in their offensive linemen. So he's got the pole position, but there's other options. If Gradkowski doesn't work out, Ben Garland is a potential center if he develops. Shelly Smith could swing inside to center. Kubiak mentioned that at the owners' meetings back in March. So they have some options, but clearly they're confident enough in what they have on hand to, you know, bid farewell to Manny Ramirez. And don't forget Matt Paradis, their sixth-round pick last year, who could well be the center of the future. So they feel pretty good that among that group, they've got someone who can develop into the center, because now you're getting into – if you pick an offensive lineman in the second round or the third round, you're getting into that realm of guys that do require a year of development to be ready to contribute in this scheme.
Well, yeah, that's what it was. One thing that I was going to say was they're confident with the players they have, but they are also confident in the players that are left on the board here for round two. Some very capable players, a guy like Jake Fisher, who we talked about before the draft started, he's a guy who's still on the draft board and who the Broncos could have very well justified taking in the 28th spot.
Of course, at the same time, it's just like the first round. You're sitting there at the end of the round, so a lot can happen between when the second round starts and when the Broncos pick. We saw last year they wanted Cody Latimer. They moved up to get him. Now they have a little bit less ammunition to move up because they made the deal they made tonight to go up 5 slots in the first round, but they still do have some in reserve both from this year's draft and next year's draft if they want to go up in the second round to get a specific guy.
Well, it's not just Jake Fisher. It's TJ Clemmings. It's Ty Sombrello from Colorado State. So there's definitely very capable offensive linemen who are still left there on the board, because not only is it Manny Ramirez, but it's also Orlando Franklin. Those are two starters along the line from last season that the Broncos will now have to somehow find a way to replace.
Landon Collins still on the board.
Yes.
Other players still on the board who, Mace, I know you'll be up late tonight doing your rounds.
So late it'll be early.
2 and 3 mock or just two?
Just two.
Just two.
Players. Just second round mock, and then after tomorrow we'll do like best of who's left.
Players left on the board outside of the linemen we touched on, Phil, and safety Landon Collins. Mace, you surprised he made it through the first round?
Very.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he wasn't the first safety off the board. You know, Demetrius Randle went to Green Bay. A lot of people liked him. You know, a lot of people seem to fall in love with him, I think, in the last month or so. But you know, I saw a lot of missed tackles on the film. I wasn't as high on him as some other people. You know, Landon Collins, I'd say, if you're talking about who are the best players on the, they're still on the board, you're talking about Landon Collins. Randy Gregory, who mentioned, but of course has the concerns about his marijuana tests. But those are the two guys. And also, no, after the top two quarterbacks, none went off the board.
That's
from
right.
That point forward. So
yes.
You figure Brett Hundley, Garrett Grayson, Bryce Petty, the status of those three bears monitoring going into tomorrow and where they end up falling.
And also, don't forget about Jalen Collins, the cornerback out of LSU,
yes.
Another guy who many people thought could have gone in the first day. Now he'll have to wait for rounds two and three.
Yeah, another player who also had his issues that could, we are watching it affect literally his draft here, not making it into round one. We talked about
Jalen Collins.
From LSU.
Yeah, Leo
There's
Collins.
A lot of Collins.
They're both from LSU.
There's like
yes.
four of them.
We touched on Amari Cooper.
We touched on Amari Cooper with Oakland. We touched on Melvin Gordon with San Diego. I wasn't in here. We had a chance to talk about Marcus Peters.
Talked about Marcus Peters.
Anything there kind of surprise any of you? I think, you know, Kansas City, Marcus Peters, they can straighten him out. That's a great pick.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, the AFC West got a lot better tonight. You know, I think that the Oakland Raiders picking up Amari Cooper is going to give them a legitimate number one wide receiver possibly for Derek Carr and the rest of the offense there. So they're definitely better throwing Michael Crabtree, and that's a legitimate offense right there. And then also Melvin Gordon going to San Diego. That, you know, the number two running back taken off the board will definitely add a lot of explosiveness to Phillip Rivers and company there in San Diego.
I think in a lot of fantasy football drafts, Melvin Gordon is going to be the first rookie off the board.
Very well could be.
Because he's going to be...
He's pro ready.
Yeah, he's pro ready. He's going to be a week one starter barring injury, and he's going to see the ball a lot because, you know, they've had some issues. Obviously, Ryan Matthews, who was there before, now he's in Philadelphia. He was hurt, and they haven't really had that consistency at that position.
And Marcus Peters, like we were talking about in Kansas City, kind of interesting. They didn't go after a wide receiver, but they brought in a cornerback from Washington who is going to be feisty. He's going to be aggressive, and he could be a guy who makes life very tough for Cody Latimer, Emmanuel Sanders, and the rest of the Broncos offense.
And just like that, after months of preparation, 30 teams, because two teams had two picks, all have new players that they will all introduce to their selective press on Friday before everyone racks it, gets back ready for rounds two and three. With that, we are going to officially close tonight's show here at Dove Valley. Really want to thank all of you for tuning in, hanging with us as we bounce around from element to element, and then, of course, jump on what turned into a trade on moving up and the Broncos going up to 23 to pick up Shane Ray. We'll meet Shane tomorrow. We will, of course, bring you his press conference live and then be live again tomorrow night for rounds two and three of the NFL draft. For Phil, for Andrew, for our entire crew here and at the stadium helping us get through this live show tonight, thank you, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll see you again back here tomorrow.